Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
El Hombre is brought to you by LoanEstimateReview.com.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. It's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
You look forward to it every week here with Bob, Dave, and Moore. 5 o'clock every Tuesday, we bring in the one, the only, El Hombre, Michael Bradley. He joins us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Hello, Michael.
What's happening, everybody?
I'm kind of worried about what happens in 21 minutes from now.
We're going to address it right now. We're going to address it right now.
I have been pardoned for last week's gaffe.
We've been accused of giving you the yips. Jim Moore's not.
You are not responsible for my lack of performance here. So this will be taken care of tonight. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with my inability to get the job done. I'm not looking for excuses.
Yeah. So we had 2 weeks ago. Michael's signature hang up is so long, suckers, and he slams the phone down. I'm explaining this to Michael Bumpus, who's in for Jim Moore today, and Jim Moore looks forward to that hang up more than anything. He doesn't care what happens in the previous 20 minutes. It's the hang up, and usually it's a really crisp, loud hang-up, and then he kind of bobbled the phone 2 weeks ago, and we kind of joked around about it, and then this is what we heard last week.
No, please.
We'll talk to you next week, Michael.
So long, suckers.
That's awesome.
I like, Michael, that it cut off right as you were about to yell something. I said it was probably an expletive, but...
There's no question. I know exactly which one it is from what I heard. I know exactly what I yelled, and you're right. This is a family program, and people don't need to hear me doing things like that.
Okay, now, I need this for me to visualize the phone. What's the phone look like?
All right, it is pretty much a square. It's got one of those things on that flip up that has the number that comes in. So for my caller ID, it's a two-line phone, but I don't need two lines anymore. You know, it's got the usual buttons down the side, contrast, directory, callers, save, delete. It's got the keyboard with the 10 digits plus the asterisk and the pound sign.
Okay.
Then we've got some other things on it. It's pretty beaten up. It's at least, I think it's about 21 years old. I got it in 99 when I moved in here.
I was going to text you. I forgot. I was going to have you, tweet out a picture of it because I imagine chips out of it and scratches from all the slamming, hang-ups that you throw out there.
It's pretty well beaten up over the years. So I am definitely going to make good on tonight. I'm feeling strong. I've been practicing all week, doing things to try to make sure visualization exercises, stuff like that. So I'm feeling good.
Well, we don't want this to be the XFL of hang-ups. No.
Yeah, no, we can't have this. I mean, the XFL's fine. It's the Alliance. I mean, we don't want to be the Alliance of this.
No, exactly. And I was going to bring it up, though. I've really enjoyed the XFL. Now, I think the quarterback play's got to get better. That's the one thing. And I obnoxiously called Oliver Luck over to the seats where we were sitting, and because I had met Oliver Luck before, but we kind of talked about that, and he agreed that it's good football, and you see some guys out there that really have a feel for it. There's a linebacker here named Johnson who played in Denver for a while, but you just watch the way he plays. Like, this guy's played a lot of football, you can tell. But the quarterback play is kind of lagging a little bit, but other than that, I've really enjoyed it. How about you?
Yeah, it's good. It looks like real football. It looks like something that belongs on my television set, not, this is a catastrophe. The quarterback thing is going to be tough to fix because there aren't enough quarterbacks to go around the NFL. You've got some people starting at quarterback in the NFL who aren't very good either. So to think that you're going to be able to have 96 jobs filled in the NFL with quarterbacks and then have 8 left over for the XFL, I think you're asking a lot.
Hey, Bradley. How realistic? Well, have you seen anybody?
The last name. First time he ever talks to me, he goes right to last name.
Feels good, man. I feel like I've known you my whole life.
No problem.
Have you seen anybody on an XFL field so far who you can honestly see playing in the NFL? Someone who hasn't been there before?
I'm gonna plead that I am not paying that close attention to the XFL. When it is on, it is generally on the bottom set. It is generally, with sound down. And I'm watching it simply to try to, as I said, it's football methadone. I'm waiting for the real thing to come back, and I'm just trying to have something with a prolate spheroid that I can watch that will satisfy my craving somewhat.
Whoa, what was that? The prolonged spheroid? Is that
prolate spheroid. That's what a football is. It's a spheroid. Prolate has been pulled from either side, made into something that's sort of a conical spheroid.
Okay, and tell Michael what's the thing for a schmuck? What's your name that you call a guy?
What's me?
That? Yeah, the special word that he calls peoples that are
Schwantego.
Schwantego. There we go. That's another thing you got.
What's the definition of Schwantego?
There's two Michaels here. You have to be more. You have to be more specific. Now that the other Michaels call me by my last name. I mean, I guess that's kind of what we got to do.
Well, apparently you're just Bradley this time around.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Bradley El Diablo. You know,
El Diablo.
You can call me Ray. You can call me Jay. You can call me Ray J. Just doesn't call me Johnson. So whatever you want to do.
How would you define a Schwantego?
Schwantego's the least valuable player on the losing team of the Turkey Bowl. Gets a pink toilet seat as a souvenir that he's got to display prominently in his house for a year, no matter how angry his wife gets at it.
Hey, Michael, we touched on this story more than a few times, and I feel like we'll continue to bring it up. And this whole fallout from the Astros, and now, you know, teams are reporting to spring training, and everybody's interviewing them, so we're getting comments from players around the league, and guys aren't pulling any punches. I mean, Nick Markakis said, yeah, I feel like everybody over there deserves a beating. I mean, it's been very entertaining to hear, you know, Cody Bellinger's coming out taking shots. I mean, they are a pariah right now. And I don't think it's going to stop, by the way, because I think whatever city they travel to, the players on the home city will be interviewed and asked about it. This just feels like it's just going to keep snowballing and keep snowballing. And if you're Rob Manfred, I feel like he couldn't have handled this worse. In the way that he's addressed it publicly.
Last week you asked me what's going to save this, you know, end this, and I said play ball. But you're right. This has legs to it. There's a lot. I never thought how angry the players would be. And here's where Manfred and perhaps the Players Association really messed up. If Manfred went to the Players Association when he was cutting the deal for the Houston Astros players to say, okay, look, if you tell us what happened, we'll give you immunity. And the Players Association said, that should be cool. Well, then they didn't pull their rank and file to find out if it would be cool. So shame on them. Manfred didn't do a lot of real good work, and his advisors did not provide him with the necessary counsel to find out whether or not how this would play. You know, as it's becoming more and more evident that he should have vacated the championship, that's the only thing that people would have agreed to. Here's the problem. Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, is one of his bosses. So for him to take away the championship from them would mean he'd have to kind of spit in the eye in one of his bosses. And you know who you're not hearing complaining? Is other owners.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that when Manfred put his finger in the wind and said, you know, which way is it coming? It was coming from the owner saying, you better not come after us because we'll cut you off at the knees and we'll find somebody else who does our bidding.
Even outside of that, and I get people being upset that players aren't suffering any consequence whatsoever in this. Him coming out and talking about the World Series trophy being taken away, and he referred to it as a piece of metal, and that upset players even more, saying, hey, man, this is what we play for every year, and you're demeaning it, saying it's less than, and you know he's got to come out with a mea culpa, saying, oh, I'm sorry, I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. It's like, this guy's just tripping over himself at every step.
Well, this shows you that this was not thought out well. It shows you that he thought, and the rest of Major League Baseball thought, that if the general manager and manager of Houston were suspended, and I can't imagine that he didn't know that Crane was going to fire them, so this is letting Crane do his dirty work, so which tells me more that Manfred was consulting with ownership about how to proceed on this. It's baseball. It's another example of the institution hurting itself in its attempts to protect it. And baseball is going to suffer on this one. When you've got Mike Trout, squeaky clean, best player in the generation, Mike Trout, coming out and ripping the person who runs the league, when we don't ever hear anything from Mike Trout, he doesn't even have endorsements. He's Mickey
right.
Mantle with better knees and a better liver. And this guy comes out and rips you. You've got a real problem.
Well, and now LeBron James too called
King
James.
Yeah, well, that doesn't help at all.
Yeah, so everybody's all over him. And does Manfred survive this?
I think he does because he's done the owner's bidding. The only way he loses is if ESPN or Fox, the propaganda partners in Major League Baseball, the chief propaganda partners in Major League Baseball, start to say, look, we're getting heat from our viewers, we're getting heat from our people, and you better do something about Manfred. And we might not know this until the season gets going. If all of a sudden national ratings drop even further, and national interest in the game and even local interest in the game drops because of the credibility, that's when Manfred could get fired. And if he's going to get fired, I don't think it's going to come now. It's going to come if the numbers come in poorly, because then his decisions, his actions will have hurt the game. Even if he consulted with the owners, he'll have to take the fall, because none of them is going to stand in front of the firing squad.
Yeah, so explain, I guess, the mentality. I mean, all the other players, you know, they're mad, and I don't know about, you know, the managers, coaches, et cetera, but why aren't the other owners mad at this whole thing? Why aren't they talking about it? What's the rationale there?
Because Jim Crane and his ownership group made a heck of a lot of money off of the World Series when they won in 2017. And owners exist to make money. They can say they want to win. They can say they want to please the fans. They can say they have a real devotion to the cities where their teams are located. But it comes down to them for the bottom line. So they're not. They have to be careful, because the last thing any of them wants is for something to happen with their team, and a big old precedent been set, and then they're going to get hit with it just as badly.
Gotcha.
This was the perfect situation for all the owners. The people who suffered were the general manager and the manager. $5 million, that's what they find in the cushions of the luxury suites. So that's no problem for them.
Hey, Bradley, I'm kind of like everyone else. I wish there was something more done. I'm looking at the text line, and a lot of people are saying they should ban the Astros from the playoffs for a year or two. What are your thoughts on that?
I here's the problem. It is too late. If Manfred now comes back and takes away 2017 or bans the Astros, then he's going to be admitting fully that he messed up. And again, I don't think the owners will let him do it. The move that should have been made, and I was wrong on this, I will admit it, they should have vacated the championship. They should have said this championship is tainted. We're going to take it away from you. And here's the other thing. Washington Post reported last week that teams were going to the Major League Baseball with stuff about this, and nothing happened. That's why a lot of the teams are upset. The Nationals players were consulting friends on other teams to find out how real this is. You know, they were told you better have five different signal combinations. You better have all sorts of different things that you're going to do, because they're going to be using electronic means to cheat.
Michael, what do you think? There's been some blowback on these players that are speaking out, whether it's, you know, Trevor Bauer, Mark Haake, anybody who's really taken exception to this whole thing. You've got that group of people out there going, well, where were you before? How come you didn't say anything when it was happening? I kind of get why they didn't. I mean, there's still that code in any professional sport that you're not gonna rat these guys out and raise your hand. Teacher, here's what's going on here. I mean, I don't know that I blame them for not coming out publicly, and I don't know that I can blame them for voicing their opinion now, but how do you feel about that?
I don't blame them at all for not coming out for a couple of simple reasons. Number one, none of them really had full evidence of all this. They may have known, they may have thought, they may have perceived, they may have put together some circumstantial evidence, but they didn't have the full evidence to go make the case. Secondly, had they made the case and they had been wrong, or they had been... Or Houston had somehow wriggled off the hook, then their careers are over. So it's the league knew. The league did not do its due diligence when it had the chance, and as a result, the league is taking the punches, as it should. Manfred tried to cut a quick deal thinking, okay, I'll give the players immunity, they'll tell me what happened, I'll suspend a couple people, throw a little fine out there, and we'll move on. Well, somebody in his office or somebody's in his office did not give him good advice, and now they're paying a price for it. The question is, and always remember this, franchise values aren't going to drop, so owners are not going to lose in the long run, and the game is the game. you know, the person who is the average major league viewer is 56, 57 years old. The game is getting hurt naturally as the fan base ages. This is not what's going to be what's going to bring it down. It's what may bring down Rob Manfred. But, you know, baseball's, you know, as James Earl Jones says, America has been torn down, rebuilt, and torn down again, and the one constant has been baseball. So, I mean, it's going to stick around.
Hey, last thing on this before we move on. Another issue people have is sort of the attitude of the Astros, and it's not every guy that's spoken, but there is a feeling of, oh, well, we're going to show you, and we're almost playing a victim on some level, and this is going to be our motivation. It feels like that, you know, with all the time they had, they could have all gotten together and had a unified message in here, whether they believed it or not. They could have come out and said, here's how we're going to approach this thing. But it feels really disjointed, where some guys seem very apologetic. Others are like, well, you know, we're going to come back out and win, and people don't think we can do this. And it just feels like this whole thing, from the owner, the way he handled it, to the players, there's been no consistency, no cohesiveness. It's just been completely botched.
All around, you're right. Now, I can't expect the players to come out and all say the same thing, right? This was an unfortunate incident that we did, that we're sorry for. Because here's the problem. If they issue too big a mea culpa, then they feed into the, we don't deserve the 2017 championship. Dusty Baker's been brought in because he's the grown-up in the room. He's got experience. He's got credibility. Everybody likes him. And look, we've talked about this on this program before. The chip on the shoulder is the time-honored athlete's way of trying to deal with anything. Okay, you're going to criticize me? I'll show you. Okay, I did something wrong? I'll show you that I can do it right. That's the way it's just going to continue. And the interesting thing is, you know, we now got a bet with William Hill bookmakers, 83.5 or whatever, as the number of hit batsmen for the Astros. Manfred comes out and goes crazy on that. To me, that's the only right thing that he did. We don't need every game to devolve into a bean brawl, right? Now, I don't know who Houston opens up with, but if I'm the manager of the other team, for Major League Baseball, I don't start my starter. I start my opener, and I tell him to drill the first guy. And you say, look, I'll pay your fine. You're going to get thrown out of the game. You might get suspended a couple of games. I might get suspended a couple of games, but we're doing this for baseball.
All right. So let's move on. I had an argument with a friend of mine last night. He argued that Carl Lewis singing the national anthem was worse than what we heard from Chaka Khan, the NBA All-Star. I love Chaka Khan. Had her CDs growing up, and I can't.
Her records?
Yeah, something like that. You know, whether it was the 33 and a third, right? Cassette, 8-track tape.
8-track.
Yeah, yeah, but, I mean, he's a sprinter. She's a singer. Your thoughts?
I will tell you that I think that for just sheer butchering of the national anthem, Carl Lewis stands alone. He is the cheese, okay? The cheese stands alone.
But he's a sprinter. He's not a singer by trade.
He thought he was a singer. He stood up. Hey, look, this is the same thing. You run onto a field in the middle of an NFL game and you get your head taken off by a linebacker, that's their office, right?
Yeah.
You step into the batter's box and you got to face a 100-mile-an-hour fastball comes in under your chin, you stepped in. You grab the microphone and you're going to sing the national anthem, you're a singer. Chaka Khan was doing interpretive dance or whatever the heck she was doing. Carl Lewis had to actually stop in the middle and say, wait!
Uh-oh.
He said, uh-oh. I'm going to make up for it now.
Right. No, and he didn't. You know, sounded like somebody was strangling puppies. It was horrible.
Did you hear the Chaka Khan rendition from last?
Yeah, part of it. I couldn't do that whole thing.
It was a rough go.
How long did it last? Like 14 minutes?
It was way too long.
Well, I know the over-under, like for the Super Bowl, it was like 205 or something like this.
It came in under. The Super Bowl came in under 2 years in a row.
This was longer.
Yeah, this was like 3 minutes.
I told my son to bet under. He didn't do it.
So whose was worse, Carl Lewis or Fergie?
Whose?
Fergie.
Fergie. She sang the national anthem, 2 years ago at the NBA All-Star game? She butchered it as well.
Seriously, I don't watch a second of the NBA All-Star game. Unless something, because, you know, I like the concept. The fourth quarter was actually a little exciting because they came up with this, you know, you got to reach the Elon equation or whatever it's called. That was kind of fun. But usually the All-Star game breaks down like Iowa girls basketball. Remember, you used to have six people on one end of the court and six people on the other end of the court, and they couldn't cross the – so it's just a bunch of lob passes down to people dunking against nobody. And I still don't get how fans cheer it. That dunk that LeBron had in the fourth quarter where the lane parted, nobody was in the lane. They got out of the way so he could run down and dunk. And then afterwards they had the nerve to say, guys were playing defense. Guys really wanted to win. Nobody got even close to him.
That was more of a health concern. They just didn't want to get trampled.
Hey, why not get trampled? Bump them. Give a token bit of resistance. Don't just run down the other end of the court.
Hey, our producer just dug up a little slice of the Fergie rendition here for you, just so you know what we're referring to.
That's so great.
What was that? No, no, well,
I'm not really sure what she was.
Cookie Monster jumped in there for.
I'm not sure what she was going for.
She had the tune. She had a bit of the tune there. Yeah. That's far superior to what Lewis was doing.
Yeah, Chaka Khan put a whole different melody in that thing. Michael Bumpus was
the Marvin Gaye thing. That's the Marvin Gaye thing, right?
No, but Marvin killed it.
Marvin, yeah,
that's a classic.
Yeah, Marvin Gaye was great.
No. I'm not saying Marvin. Marvin is the gold standard.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is she was trying to do that and didn't quite reach that apex.
Yeah.
Frankly, nobody will.
Yeah. Chaka Khan put a whole new melody in it, and Michael Bumpus had the best quote. He said, I was kind of lost. I wasn't sure what song she was singing because it was a different melody. She was like rewriting the melody.
She broke into the Romanian national anthem.
Yeah.
It's a great song. Just sing the song.
Yeah.
I understand. It is a great song, but it's very hard to sing, and everybody's trying to interpret it, and it's the All-Star game and blah, blah, blah. Look, I don't watch any All-Star. I'll watch the Major League Baseball All-Star game, but even that's on the bottom set with the sound turned down.
Yeah. Michael, you sound tense. You sound tense right now. Seriously.
Really? You're trying to get in my head?
You do.
Very narrow ear canals. You might be able to get up through the nose, but that you're not getting in there.
By the way, I just tweeted out a picture of Michael's phone.
So I love it.
You can check it out at Bob Stelton on Twitter. At Bob Stelton, you can see that it's seen better days, that it's taken a beating from El Hombre after all of these appearances. And we'll end this one in the same fine fashion we end all of them.
Just take them one at a time, Michael.
Yeah,
one thing I can tell you.
One day at a time.
One hang up at a time. He is El Hombre. You can follow him on
Twitter. I got a lot of hang ups.
you can follow him on Twitter at Daily Hombre. At Daily Hombre. And again, if you want to take a look at the phone, it's real. It's a landline. It's there. It's taking a beating at Bob Stelton on Twitter. Michael, we'll do it again next week.
So long, suckers.
All right.
El Hombre is brought to you by LoanEstimateReview.com.
You hear a little bit of a...
I think you're
call that one pretty clean.
Now we're looking for it.
Was that a swish?
Yeah. It might have hit the rim.
Caught a little rim, didn't it?
Little rim.
Because he's had some clean ones. They were just click.
Okay. Well, you would know better.
And he just texted me. I think he's going to tell me he blew it. Let's see. Oh, he says, I'm back, baby.
I have to agree.
All right. There you go. The picture of the phone is classic. That is an old phone, isn't it?
Oh, man, that looks like...
It looks like a calculator, like one of those big calculators or
something. That was like a killer phone back when it first came out in 1987, 88, maybe.
It's an old school phone there, Bump. Look at that thing. Yeah, so there you go. I tweeted that out on Twitter, at Bob Stelton. Meanwhile, we haven't had a chance to talk about the XFL at all. We were all at the game. Share our experience. Everybody in this room, DJ, were you there? All right. You don't count. Everybody else was there, though. Everybody else was there. We're going to talk about that next, coming up with Bob, Dave, and more. Michael Bumpus in for Jim Moore this week on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
The 5 o'clock refresh is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, made to chill. If you're watching on the stream at 710sports.com, I'm standing up. It's electric. You should check it out. We're going to talk XFL here. Everything we do here is monitored. It's hilarious. They want to have perfect view. Dave's going to hide behind his screen. He's going to sit as low as he can. Bump has got his visor pulled down on his hat. It's quite a scene in this
room. I need my stack of books.
It's a real scene in there.
Back over here.
But we were all together on Saturday. XFL.
All now, three of us. And Mora.
And Mora. Now, DJ had a good reason. He had to work. He was here working, so I don't want to give him a hard time for not being there. But that was a good time. They gave us some really good seats out there. It was a little nippy, a little wet out there. But
a little bit.
It was. I didn't dress properly for it.
I didn't either. But they did have dragon towels there to wipe up the seats.
Yeah,
so we're outside in the end zone.
Yeah, that part was cool, and it was entertaining. I mean, the second half decidedly better than the first.
Yeah.
But the presentation, the electricity, the crowd there, it was loud. It was really loud, and it was just under 30,000 out there.
Yeah, how many show up to the Sounders game? Don't they just the Sounders fill the whole thing? Do they?
I think they get
off the top part.
Yeah,
part of the top part, but. I'm not sure how much they get, but yeah, there was guys.
I went to a Sounders game that I think had like 36,000 or so at it.
Okay, yeah. What did we have the other day?
29,172, and the biggest crowd of any of the other XFL teams so far has been 18,000.
Oh,
really?
But St. Louis is the only other team that's come close to selling what Seattle has. The Battlehawks, and their home opener is this weekend, so we'll see if they compete with Seattle.
Yeah,
and they play in a lousy building.
The
Edward Jones.
You spent some time there.
Yeah, it's a bad building.
Yeah, but that was really cool. I just enjoyed everything about it. And it was just, different experience for us. We're usually going as credentialed media guys, and we just went as fans. But, yeah, I couldn't believe all of the different – there was a lot of gear walking around, a lot of drag, which their stuff is great.
People with – I don't know if they made the gear themselves, like dragon heads and full dragon head-to-toe outfits. And I'm like, where do you get this?
There was like 8 or 9 guys in the crowd that had this big orange that was like a jumper, but it was a full bodysuit. But, yeah, it was just cool. And I was obnoxious enough to get Oliver Luck. First, Bob points it out. You want to tell this story?
Yeah. Well, as you said, we weren't there as credentialed media, so we were fans, and you were having a good time before the game. I think Bump was having a good time up there. And I
define having a good time. What do you mean?
Knocking back a couple of Coca-Colas.
Okay.
I like Sprite.
Yeah. So I see Oliver Luck walking right in front of where we were sitting. And I go, Dave. And I pointed out, there's Oliver Luck. And Dave screams, Oliver. And he looked at you like, hey, how's it going?
Drunk, obnoxious guy.
And then he realized it was you or had some recognition. You guys chatted for a while. And then Dave comes back inside the suite and goes, hey, Bob, did you see who I was talking to out there? I'm like, yeah, I'm the one that told you, Dave, there goes Oliver Luck.
Well, that could happen whether I was having a good time or not sometimes. And I just forgot Tyler Lockett's name when we were prepping for the show. I was so embarrassed because Bumpus is sitting there looking at me like, really? But yeah, sometimes that happens.
And then the other moment that was golden was Bump came up to you and you were making fun of the kicker for some reason. You were talking about, the dumb kicker did this. And Bumpus just goes, Dave, I love you, man. And then he's kind of like leaning and being sincere, and you go, oh, man, that's good to hear. You sound like you're drunk. It wasn't, I love you too, man. It was, that's nice. You seem like you're drunk.
Way to ruin my moment with you, Dave.
Oh, man, goodness. I know how you feel. I loved your friends, too, particularly Elmer was there. But, no, we had a great time. Kyle was there with his super nice wife. Same with Taylor Jacobs.
And Brent Stecker was there. Stacy was there. And Wassel and his girlfriend were there. And Yeah, it was, and Kyle was there with his wife.
Yep.
Yeah, it was very cool. We had the 710 crew out there.
But, we were right there in the corner where a couple of big plays happened. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the game, there was that push-off. You know what? It made me think that I wonder, and I haven't gotten to that part on the TV replay, but I wonder if it's as obvious as it was right there. Because, we were standing basically right where the official stands. And that push-off was very obvious.
There was a great picture after a score there
that
was sent out where everybody in our section was standing up cheering, arms in the air, and then there's Wyman sitting down.
But I had but his arms were in the air.
He was clearly excited, but he was the only one sitting.
You guys made the ESPN top 10, that pick six there in the end zone. Yeah, I looked, I paused, and I saw the 7-10 crew. I was like, we made it.
That's the guys.
Top
10,
let's go.
Oh, that was beautiful, too. It was Cairo, the guy who picked it off at the end, and they had him drop.
The pick six was Marcel Frazier, but the game-sealing interception was Kyle Cairo,
And he did a great job. He's – He stood out to me. Definitely Jeremy Clark.
Jeremy Clark. My favorite player so far.
He looks like a big-time corner and did a thing on him on last week where he, you know, they split out this funky formation and, you know, he was able to he does a really good job of taking on blockers and playing the edge. And, you know, his coverage, I'm sure, is great, but more than anything, as a run player, he's really, really stood out to me. And he had a nice tackle for a loss, made a bunch of plays, got an interception. So, yeah, there's some good play there. The quarterback play needs to get better.
Yes,
and
yes.
The thing, you know, what the one thing I would say
that's across the league for the most part.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here, if I was Zorn, I'm going to be Coach Wyman here, but if I was Jim Zorn, I would try to find a way to get Keenan Reynolds built into a package where he's the quarterback and, you know, they run. Nobody's had, he had 88 touchdowns at Navy. Nobody has scored more touchdowns. And I think it would be interesting to see, you know, maybe they can get that going. But I loved on the broadcast listening to, and you probably really appreciated this, Michael, Zorn's coaching and how he was taking Brandon Silvers, the quarterback, through it. He's like, yeah, you could have got six there, then it would be third and four, but you made a good play with your legs, but you just got to make that pass. I mean, it was really cool to hear him coach him up.
You've had a relationship with Zorn. Is that how he is? Is that how he coaches? Or is he coaching like that because he knows he's mic'd up?
Yeah, I don't know Jim that well. I mean, I golfed with him.
He doesn't curse.
No?
Yeah, he doesn't. Oh, one time, did I ever tell you this story where down in Arizona, Dave Craig calls me. He goes, hey, let's go golfing. So the foursome was Dave Craig, Steve Largent, and Jim Zorn, and then me. And you know that song from Sesame Street? Can you tell which one doesn't belong?
Yeah. Was that you?
Three Ring of Honor candidates, or at the time they were candidates.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about their golf
self. Well, no, golf, forget it. But yeah, that's, you know, I spent some time with Jim then. Yeah, that's how he is. He doesn't yell and scream. And Brock could, you know, obviously talk about this more than I could because he was coached by him. But, yeah, Jim's just a great guy. I think he's – the way he did that, it just was very impressive to me. So, you know –
that's the only thing you miss by being there, right, is you don't hear
that.
Yeah,
you don't hear all that
so,
stuff.
So, I mean, being there was such an awesome, cool event. I thought the pregame festivities were cool. The crowd was going nuts. Everything about it was great. The only thing you miss by being there – is what makes the XFL really unique right now, that access. You're not hearing, you know, the sideline interviews. You're not hearing the play calls. You're not hearing the reviews going on. That's
right.
That's still pretty cool to hear these guys as they review a play. And, it looks like, yeah, he's definitely down. Spot the ball at the 23. You know, whatever they're saying to the officials.
It gives great perspective. Now these people know that there's a lot going on within one play. There's a lot going on. And whether it be – and now there's a lot going on after a turnover or something. And this is an emotional game. And I commend some of these coaches for keeping their cool, man, because you know what it's like on the NFL sideline. I mean, there's bombs being dropped here and there. It's very intense. So that's the only thing that I question. I'm like, am I seeing your true self when you're coaching these guys up? As a player comes off the field, well, we know that guy from New York, the QB from New York who threw his
McGloin.
Team. Yeah. We know we saw his true self in that moment. But
yeah, that was real.
I just want to know, you know, is this real? Or are you conscious that you're mic'd up?
Yeah, you're getting those immediate interviews with guys on the sidelines, sometimes after a bad play, interviewing quarterbacks after an interception. What'd you see there? Not the way you wanted that to go. You know, and sometimes they're giving you cliches like, yeah, I got to – you know, I can't make that mistake, got to do better, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And some guys you can see are legitimately
pissed. Should make one game pay-per-view every year and just let them just go at it. Just let them say whatever they want to say.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to hear that kind of stuff. And that's why earlier I kind of gave McGloin a break there because, you know, those are some of the things that get said really quick. The 619 says, did you see Steve Largent light the cauldron with a toilet plunger? It's not a toilet plunger. He thought it looked like it. I guess he had a torch that he lit.
Yeah.
And Kurt Menefee, the ultimate pro,
right,
was like, well, that was worth the wait because they waited for a long time during the broadcast. They're still ironing some things out. I find that endearing.
Yeah.
I like that about this league. I like it about the broadcasts. I feel like they're doing a really good job.
All right. And by the way, quickly, 425 says, typical Sounders games are about 36,000. Portland, L.A., and other big-name teams will be significantly higher.
Mm.
So there you go, by way of comparison. Meanwhile, we've talked a bit about what's gone on with the Astros, some of the fallout. Some of the remarks from their peers have been very entertaining. We're going to play some of those for you. Coming up next, it's Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore. Michael Bumpus in for Jim Moore this week on 710 ESPN Seattle. We talked a bit about this Astros story as it continues, and it will continue, by the way. They're going to keep asking guys in on other teams as they have access, as they gain access throughout spring training and the regular season. When they face the Astros, it's going to be a topic, and you're going to keep getting more and more comments. We talked about this a bit with El Hombre, but it's an interesting back and forth. Now, we've got some audio here from Cody Bellinger, who was very, very vocal about it. We've got Carlos Correa responding to Bellinger, and we've got Nick Markakis, who I'm guessing is going to be right up there on Dave's Hall of Fame of guys who say great things. You like Jorge Masvidal. He's one of your guys. I think Nick Markakis may be there with this comment.
To see something like that, it's damaging to baseball. It's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. You know, it's wrong. They're messing with people's careers. You know, I know we're all competitive and we're out there competing, but there's right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it. And I 100% disagree with the way they did it. You know, there's a lot of people that were hurt by it, and it was wrong.
Like in the article I was reading about this before I heard the article, it says, Markakis didn't clarify on what constitutes, and then in quotes, a beating.
Yeah. That's what I would have asked him if I was like, wait, what do you mean there? What's a beating? To you anyway, what's a beating?
Yeah, it's so good. I'm guessing he's not alone in that. And then just a couple other quick ones here. Here's a couple from Cody Bellinger, who's very vocal, and then we'll get Correa's response to it. But here's Bellinger basically saying they lost respect for the Astros.
I know personally I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show in the big leagues lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off, but two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like that makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense to me. I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. These guys were cheating for 3 years. You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us.
And then Carlos Correa responding to those comments from Cody Bellinger.
He talks about Altuve, and he says, Jose Altuve cheated Judge out of the MVP. I mean, Cody, like, you know the facts. We're all in there, and nobody wants to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about this. Jose Altuve was the one guy that didn't use the trash can. A few times that the trash can was banged was without his consent. And he would go inside the clubhouse, inside the dugout, to whoever was banging the trash can, and he would get pissed. He would get mad. He would say, I don't want this. I can't hit like this. Don't you do that to me. He played the game clean.
Those guys on the Astros have a lot to prove this year.
Yep. Yeah, they do.
A lot to prove.
The second any one of them goes into a slump, the story will be, well, I guess this is who they are when they're not cheating, when they don't know what pitch is coming. Even if it's a natural slump that every player goes through, that will be the automatic default. Look at Altuve scuffling a bit. I guess somebody should bang a trash can. I'll help him out.
They've been so good in the past 3-4 years, you know. So they have to continue to play well or else it's going to be I told you so all year. And I'm here for it, man. And you got to play the game the right way. And whatever that means to you, that's what it means to you. To me, it means you don't get help with banging on the trash can. You stand there. Because hitting a baseball is one of the hardest things in sports to me.
I agree.
You have like 0.2 seconds to figure out what that pitch is. Do you want to pull it? Do you want to go oppo? Like there's not enough time to make that decision. So you're taking away just the integrity of the game, what makes baseball one of the hardest sports to play. You're using a cheat code. So I think they deserve some of this heat, you know, and if it happens all year, it happens all year. Go out and prove that you don't need the trash can.
Yeah, and it comes at, you know, as far as knowing what pitch is coming, when to swing, when not to. Is there anywhere in your mind in sports where you could gain a bigger advantage by cheating than that? I mean, I was talking to Todd Herman over on the FM side. He's filling in for Dory. And he said, maybe, you know, at the end, I don't watch NASCAR. You watch NASCAR?
No.
Okay. So he said, you know, maybe at the end of a race, knowing how much fuel another guy has, you know, so you can burn, you know, burn out and, you know, possibly, you can tell. I don't know anything about NASCAR. But anyway, you know, just how much gas the other guy has. It's kind of a guessing game, when to take a pit stop, things like that. So, but still, I don't think, maybe a remote control golf ball.
Yeah.
You could fly it like
drone. Even if you know the play that's coming in football, you're relying on 11 people to do the right thing.
Right.
Where this is a one-on-one. This is pitcher versus batter.
Totally.
And, you know, Mike Trout, who says nothing, you know, and El Hombre brought this up, that the guy never says a word about anything, and he was out there ripping these guys and saying, man, if I knew what pitch was coming, I'd have some fun.
Man, he's already the best in the game, right?
Oh, without question.
Imagine.
So imagine if he knew fastball.
Right.
Fastball or, you know, whatever, curveball's coming with. If he could sit on a pitch, it might take a day for it to land.
Yeah, and you're talking about Altuve, right?
Huh? No, I'm talking about Trout.
Oh, Trout.
Trout,
yeah.
Saying, who never criticized, right. He's never a whiff of controversy around the guy, never talks.
Right.
Know? Yeah. And he came out and said, you know, hey, what they did was absolutely wrong. And imagine if I could know what pitch was coming up there, boy, would I have some fun.
Altuve already has an advantage.
Strike zone so small.
To him, that baseball looks like a volleyball. So he's already got that advantage going.
So, he's swinging at a beach ball up there compared to everybody else.
Man, this is so damaging to baseball, and I can see why everybody's so angry. I can't figure out. I wonder how much more is going to come out. And Manfred today tweeting out that, hey, I don't want a bunch of retaliation going on here.
Too late.
Yeah, but he also, you know, it's like he's going to go after these guys harder than he went after the actual cheaters.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem everybody has with this. There was, as Cody Bellinger said, the punishment was weak. The apologies were weak. I mean, the Astros owner coming out there the way that he did was moronic.
Oh, my God.
He's an imbecile. That was terrible. That was absolutely terrible. So this is far from over. This is far from the last players that will comment on it, because everybody's going to be asked about it as more and more access, spring training gets going. And, man, every opponent of the Astros this year is going to be asked about it. So we'll stay tuned, man. It's
bring your garbage cans.
Yep. All right, coming up next, one of my all-time favorite segments on this show. It is What We Learned, and it's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
Well, Michael Bumpus is with us this week, so I think there's a lot of learning that's going to be happening here. He's a smart guy, so a lot of learning, right, Maura? Am I right about that?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. I thought you were going to say a lot of love. A
lot of love, too.
That's
a lot
you.
Of love in this building.
Spread the love.
We've seen that side of him, too.
And then Curly walks by.
Yeah.
And then the opposite of love. Just kidding, Curly.
What did we learn, Maura?
Well, we learned something interesting about Stacey Ross today.
I'm just rooting for him to be healthy and him to get back and be out there doing what he needs to do. Stacey, why are you digging through
Stacey's
the trash?
Stacey's going through the garbage.
She comes in here and starts rifling through the trash can.
Wait, on accident, go back to-
She's rifling through the trash. She's hungry. There's food. There's a cafeteria thing downstairs.
To be fair to Stacey, it was the recycling bin.
She threw it in the wrong one. What
There's some information in there. Seems pretty important for her to go, what'd you call it, rifling?
Rifling through the trash. Yeah. She's hungry. Get a snack. Just middle of the segment, just digging in the trash behind us.
All hell broke loose during that segment. First, of course, my computer went out.
Yeah.
Then I started yelling at it. Then Brenna comes in. The newly betrothed Brenna Hutchinson.
Yeah, congrats to her.
And C-Raj.
Just to add to the fun, Stacey comes in and starts digging through the trash can right in the middle of our segment.
The best part of it was like, I got like 5 minutes till break. Oh, Brenna's in there, and then just runs in there and starts going through the trash.
We're not on the air. That's fine. Go ahead, dig around. You're not distracting at all.
Important documents. That's what those were. Important.
Couldn't wait for the break. What else did we learn?
We learned that El Hombre is back.
You can follow him on Twitter at Daily Hombre, at Daily Hombre. And again, if you want to take a look at the phone, it's real. It's a landline. It's there. It's taking a beating at Bob Stelton on Twitter. Michael, we'll do it again next week.
So long, suckers.
Do you hear a little bit of a?
Nah, I think
you call that one pretty clean.
Now we're looking for it.
Was that a swish?
Yeah. Well, it might have hit the rim.
Caught a little rim, didn't it?
Little rim.
He's had some clean ones that were just click.
Well, you would know better.
And he just texted me. I think he's going to tell me he blew it. Let's see. No, he says, I'm back, baby.
I have to agree.
He felt good about that one.
You got to go to Bob's Twitter account and see the phone. Were you old enough? That was the phone
my principal had in kindergarten or something.
That
phone's old as heck. Yeah.
And it has taken a beating, man.
It's like a rectangle, and it's got all these little buttons and features on it that are very low.
Scuff marks.
Scuff marks. There's some dirt on there.
Yeah, earwax.
Yeah, you said it looked like the phone at your dad's sawmill.
Yeah, back in the mid to late 80s, you know, supposedly very high tech.
Yeah, it does have a lot of buttons, a lot of options on it. Yeah, you can check that one out. What else did we learn?
We learned that Brock got the royal treatment from Fox on the sidelines Saturday.
I'm not mad at Brock for having an umbrella.
How about somebody holding it for him, over him?
What's the full story? There has to be a reason why he was holding it. Maybe
Lydia and I were like 10 feet away.
And you didn't have umbrellas, did you?
No. I just had a hat on. But we look over and we just see he's got like three people around him. I swear someone might have been like touching up makeup. Someone's holding like a piece of paper for him. And then someone else has an umbrella over him. And we were like, this is crazy. Lydia went over and took a picture.
What a diva. Somebody's standing next to you holding an umbrella over your head so you don't get wet. I'd feel weird about
that. Quarterback,
I would too. Brock, he's got a posse around him making sure he's at his best.
The only reply all email I've ever done, working here for what, 7-8 years, somebody had misplaced a makeup bag and it was at the front desk, and does anybody know who's this is? And I replied all to the whole building, did you check with Brock Heward? And I thought that was funny.
Did he find it funny?
Brock, he used to bring to the pregame and postgame, he would have like this hair gel because he was always going on TV somewhere. So he owns it pretty good.
Yeah, all the TV guys do, though, because I've gone into the bathrooms like at Mariner games, you know, towards the end of the game, and there'll be Brad Adam in there or Kruger or all of them. They're all in there doing the makeup. They got a whole bag full of stuff. I'm like, my goodness, look at all that.
It's intense. All right. Can't have shiny foreheads on TV. Shiny forehead.
They got more than just that going on. I'll tell you what.
I would rather have a shiny forehead than have somebody ever catch me doing that.
Putting on makeup.
Yeah.
The worst is ESPN had a stretch for a while where I think they were sending all of the guys on their shows to the same spray tanner. Todd McShay was kind of orange for a long time.
He went with the Oompa Loompa shade.
Yeah.
What else did we learn?
We learned that Dave had a good time at the XFL game.
As you said, we weren't there as credentialed media, so we were fans, and you were having a good time before the game. I think Bump was having a good time up there. And I
define having a good time. What do you mean?
Knocking back a couple of Coca-Colas.
Okay.
You know.
Right.
I like Sprite.
Yeah, so I see Oliver Luck walking right in front of where we were sitting, and I go, Dave! And I pointed out, there's Oliver Luck. And Dave screams, Oliver! And he looked at you like, hey, how's it going?
Drunk, obnoxious guy.
And then he realized it was you or had some recognition. You guys chatted for a while. And then Dave comes back inside the suite and goes, hey, Bob, did you see who I was talking to out there? I'm like, yeah, I'm the one that told you, Dave, there goes Oliver Luck.
That's pretty bad. That's more of a concussion type of thing. I think
it had
than
nothing
anything.
To do with consumption. It was concussion.
Yeah, Oliver. That was a funny. You saw the expression because at first he was like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
And then I think I sat next to him for an entire game, and this was at Washington State when Andrew, his son, was a senior, and I thought it was very cool that he was kind of sitting up in the nosebleed seats that were like on the 5-yard line. Somehow he was sitting right next to me, and then maybe it's probably because I got him through Stanford, the tickets. But then, you know, like he could have been up in a booth or he could have been down on the sidelines. He's the important dad. And he goes, you know, at the end, he goes, well, I'm going to go stand in line for a while so I can talk to my son for 5 minutes. So he didn't want anything special for him. He was totally trying to stay out of it. And that's what I was talking about earlier with who was the guy whose dad, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
His dad was all involved in it, and I'm just like, man. I mean, even if you are involved, you don't want your name in there. And that's how Oliver Luck was, too. Mm-hmm. He didn't want – because he was Warren Moon's backup.
Yeah. He seemed like he recognized you. Just that you see people out of context.
Well, we talked for 3 hours, so yeah.
Sometimes you see people out of context. It takes a minute to go, wait, I know that face. You're used to seeing him in a certain area, and I've done that with a bunch of people that work at the Seahawks facility, and then I see him out somewhere, and they'll go, Bob, I'll go
– You're right.
Hey, man.
Well, and he's been doing quite the media tour.
He's what?
He's been doing quite the media tour for about 2 years now, I'm sure he's seen a lot of people.
Right. Well, he has a better memory than I do because I couldn't remember that Bob had just pointed it out 5 minutes before. So
that was so good. Did we learn anything else?
Was it really good?
It was good.
It was good for you.
It was a good laugh. We had good laughs.
We'll stop learning because the tension is growing.
Okay. All right. That's all the learning for today. I want to thank our guests, John Clayton, El Hombre, Michael Bradley, and Eugene Robinson for joining us on the program. If you missed any of today's show, just head to 710sports.com, click the podcast button, scroll down to our picture, and click on that. Everything you missed each and every day is waiting for you there. And we're going to be back tomorrow. Michael Bump is in with us all week. Jim Moore on vacation, so Bump will be with us all week. A lot of learning will be happening. So stay tuned for all that. We're back tomorrow. It's Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.